Well, today's a real treat because I have with me in my kitchen Lynn. And Lynn is the author of the Clandestine Cake Club book, but it's very strange. And in fact, Lynn's looking around my kitchen at the moment for some butter. And it's very strange because it's sort of funny how life goes round in circles, because when I was first publishing my first book, Prepped, I needed some testers and I tweeted for some help testing. And Lynn, you were one of my first testers for my recipes, weren't you?
And I do remember it was the chocolate biscotti biscuits. Beautiful, very simple, easy recipe. Put them in the freezer, half of them, and I baked the second half. And they kept beautifully in the freezer, took them out and baked them again. But yeah, they were really nice. Dipped them in some coffee, cocoa. Really nice they were, yes. But that was, how long ago was that?
That was 3 years ago, nearly.
Wow. Gosh.
And you've got your own recipe book now, come on.
I have 120 recipes, cheeky plug, 20 plus of them are mine, and the rest are from the Clandestine Cake Club members, and they are delicious and beautiful, really are.
Well, I'm one of them.
And they, you are one of them. Yes, they are. One of them is from your book, the, is it cardamom and rose?
Yeah, cardamom, rhubarb and rose cake, yes, which is a very feminine cake. It's one of those ones that you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between with it, I don't think.
Well, I do know of people, following social media, I do know of a few people who have actually baked it and said how amazing it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. And it, I have to say, it didn't need adjusting at all.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it just goes to show
I
that
I can take all the compliments you can give to me, Lynn.
No. And I think they, even when they did the photograph of the cake was very similar as to how you'd set it in your garden in your book as well. But that's the sort of cake that yours was. It needed that sort of setting.
No, it was a very, very pretty cake. So we're here now and we're doing a little bit of baking. We're teaching a class here and Mary is helping, and we're on our way now, and we've got curry on for lunch. Curry and cakes. Do you think that's a good combination?
Perfect. If they have the lettuce, we just need another C, don't we? Curry cakes and chocolate?
Yeah, oh, yes, well, we've got chocolate cake here. So
curry and chocolate.
I'm going to ask you a couple of things here. When you're making cakes, Lynn,
yes.
I mean, you are sort of the top sort of person for cake making. What are your... I'm going to pass the scales here to you. There you go. What are your top tips when you're making a cake?
I think it's probably general. Always use softened butter. But if you do have butter and it's straight from the fridge, a top tip, which even Mary Berry uses and the cooks at the Betty's Cookery School, if you dice the butter, place it in some tepid water just for a minute or two, scoop it all out and place it into your mixing bowl with the sugar, and it softens it beautifully. Try and avoid, if you can, softening butter in the microwave, because you will get that squidgy bit in the middle, which changes the texture of the cake altogether. And the other tip is to use good quality ingredients. If you're going to make a cake, you don't have to eat a big slice, so why not use good quality ingredients, such as butter, even fair trade. I mean, we might as well go all the way and go fair trade.
Well, that was my next question, because from a point of view of cooking, not everybody feels that they can afford fair trade ingredients, and yet I don't think that they cost that much more than normal ingredients, do you?
I don't think they do, for the sake of an extra, 20, 30p, if that. If you know the difference between the lives that it makes for those people, and you know where the money actually goes to, it gives them, as I understand it, a decent living. And why not go all the way and go fair trade if you can? It's a shame that we don't see quite so many products that are fair trade, and often you will have to sort of look for them.
Talking about that, I was in Morrison's yesterday, and I'm going to name and shame Morrison's, because there were absolutely no fair trade vanilla options whatsoever. Nothing.
All right.
I was quite shocked. Mm. Would you expect someone
I would Morrison's? Expect all the supermarkets to have at least something. Even if it's just one or two products, but to have at least something, so that people can have a choice of what they want to do. Granted, not everybody would want to afford to pay for the fair trade, which is fair enough.
And yet, I'm going to say, the stuff that was on sale yesterday was actually the same price as the fair trade stuff. Right. I mean, I looked yesterday at the vanilla offering, and compared it to the one that I know, which is the Ndali vanilla offering, and the price was identical. I think the fact they haven't offered the choice is really, in this day and age, is not really acceptable. That's my that's me standing on my orange box now. Mary, do you use fair trade products?
I try to where I can find it, but you know, organic fair trade is good, but you can't get everything as conveniently, you know, as you'd want to use the right ingredients.
Lynn, if you could only choose one fair trade ingredient to use in your cakes, what would that ingredient be?
It would be vanilla, because I do like vanilla. It's the basis of lots of cake making, regardless of whatever flavours you use, whether you use chocolate, spices or whatever. Even if you were to do a simple cake, I think vanilla is at the heart of it. So if you are going to use quite a lot of it, and I tend to double up on the volumes, if a recipe says 1 teaspoon, I will put 2 or 3 teaspoons in. So if it has to be one fair trade product, I would definitely, and I think I do actually, I go for the fair trade ones as much as possible.
I'll tell you what I've got. I'm going to walk behind here in my pantry. Mary's just literally doing this cake while we're chatting. And here I've got 2 lots of Ndali. I've got the powder there, and I've got the essence here. Have you come across these before?
I have, Ndali, not the intense one, but this one, the powder, is amazing. I have used this a couple of times. In fact, you actually sent me a few.
I did actually, now you've said it. I remember, in fact, I had some spare. And anybody who I particularly liked and thought was rather lovely, I posted some too.
You did. I actually gave one, because it's so intense, I actually gave one to a friend to use. But what I like about this powder is because you can just sprinkle it anywhere. You don't have to think about it. And it will go on. I've used it on ice creams. I've used it in cakes. I've used it in, you know, creme patisserie. I've used it in that. And you can just use it without thinking about it. And it's really, really nice.
Do you think that that's quite an economical way to use vanilla?
I think so. Because you don't... Sometimes if you use a vanilla pod, you will just have the seeds and there's a tendency to throw the pod away. Or if you want to mix it with sugar, make vanilla sugar, which is very good. But to me, if you want to... Am I right in thinking that this is the whole pod?
Mm, yeah. But the vanilla pod... When I was there in Uganda... I'm looking at these. I'll show you the photos afterwards. The vanillin was actually exploding out of the vanilla pods. I've never seen anything like it. Mm. It was almost like spider's webs all across it, because the now that there's a lot more security there in the cooperatives, and there's less people sort of robbing, you know, there's a lot of crime. There was.
Right.
People can leave the vanilla on the vines longer, and then the vanillin develops further. So it's probably, it was described as the champagne and truffles of vanilla. It is actually, ironically, probably the most financially sensible one, because you've got 6 vanilla pods in it. And the irony is, it's actually probably the most exquisite vanilla that you can get. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's...
I've used it a lot, and I still have plenty of this left. So it is, if you're talking about value for money, then I'm sure it must be. But yeah, vanilla is probably one of my favourite fragrances and flavours as well.
Can you tell me what you can smell in there, Mary? If I get you to just open that.
I'll give it a whisk.
Hurry up. You're giving that a good stir there. I've got my Kenwood mixer behind, if you like.
I'm trying to get rid of the bat wings.
Mary, what can you smell in there?
I can't quite identify it, but it's at least... I'm not sure, but it's definitely vanilla, and there's at least 2 or 3 other aromas there.
Can you smell butterscotch, caramel, and a little bit of sort of smoked cherry under there? That's my description of it.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah.
It's more complex, isn't it? There's a complexity to it.
Yeah, I can't quite identify it, but there's
Well, I'm really excited now, because that cake that you're actually beating up there with I think is actually going to be the first recipe of my new book. So it's really exciting to be able to be...
Did you class these as large eggs?
Well, that one's by Finella. That's Finella, and that's Calpurnia. And I think you could probably say that they've produced some good size eggs there.
Because normally my ratio would be 8.884, but these look rather like large eggs, so I'm tempted to overuse three eggs.
Got a double yolk.
I'll tell you what, to test my theory, I'm going to weigh the eggs. And if they come out... Oh, no, there's a lot less.
That's your chocolate cake. Right. We've got a Moroccan chocolate cake in the oven. Here we go. You see, the second you're here, I can hear, Lynn,
what?
That I've got my northern accent on.
Are you by
gum? It's 8 wild 6.
No, here we are. Definitely use 4 eggs.
Right, that, no, I tell you what. Mary, use the oven gloves because this is damp. Right, well, as you can tell, we're having a lot of fun in the kitchen right now, and I'm going to leave you all to imagine how delicious it smells. Just to say that if you are going to get some ingredients for your cake and you only think that one of them can be fair trade, then really, really seriously have a look at what fair trade vanillas you can get. It's well worth the extra money.